to address you this morning. I'm so very, very honored to have been included in your organization and to be included as a bishop. And, you know, when that honor was bestowed upon me, it wasn't just that someone felt to honor me, but when I accepted that, then I accepted the responsibility then to minister the Word of God to God's people in every place that the door swung open for me. And so I'm so happy that actually, aside from my own church, today, to be in Living Faith Church is my first address since my bishop consecration. So you're my first visit to someplace other than my own church, and I just want to offer you God's very best today. I hadn't planned any kind of a sermon because my understanding is the Archbishop is going to offer the sermon today. But on Friday night when we came in, my husband and my friend Steve and I came just to visit, just to socialize a little bit and get acquainted. The Holy Spirit began to move in a way that we could not just set aside. We couldn't just put the Holy Spirit over here and just socialize. And so he had an agenda, we discovered. And for me, that's always the primary thing. So this morning, I had just thought to maybe encourage you and to speak maybe a word over this body. But as I sat and watched the procession and the people who came to receive communion, I can't help but notice the different nationalities that are represented, the nations that are represented here this morning. And you know, this is the way that heaven's going to be. Heaven's going to be, hallelujah. Heaven is going to be a place filled with all the nations, all the cultures, all the languages, and who have come to know the Lord and who have received Him. So I can't help but remember what happened when nations of people came together in one place in the book of Acts, when the apostles had all received their calling, and Jesus had come, had died, had risen again. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 said that as Jesus ascended, then he gave gifts unto men. And some of them were apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, because people were left to carry on the work of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing that we don't hear very often. See, the focus was not just that those gifts were given to the church, but why those gifts were given to the church, those five offices. And the word says that those leaders that Jesus left to carry out his portion in the earth, were there to help to establish the body for the work of the ministry. And so the ministry is not just people like the archbishop and the bishop and the pastor. The work of the kingdom would never get done like that, because the word said that their benefit, that their gifts were to benefit the body of Christ till the body became mature and whole in the power of the living God and could do the work of the ministry across the face of the earth. I have to say, and just prophetically speaking here, we realize that in the natural, we see that there are different nations that have been gathered together here. And as your pastor explained, you know, I am new to this organization. And so what I know so far, I really know by the Spirit more than in the natural, because there's not been the opportunity to experience all this. But what I know by the Spirit of God is that this not only the organization, which is already international, but this local church will always be, and this is the Spirit of God is saying, that He is going to gather together the best of the people of the nations and bring them together in this place, because there is another plan that God has, just like in the book of Acts. Friday night I mentioned the prophet Joel, and you know, he said some things long before the time of Christ. He prophesied into two different time frames of time, and one was the early church. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they recognized that what Joel spoke long before Jesus, that this was the timing, and this is when the Holy Spirit had just fallen and the church was brand new. And the prophecy that Joel gave came up again. It said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, who said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And on my handmaidens, my servants and my handmaidens, I'll pour out those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now, I want to notice that this is Acts chapter 2 and verse 20 says, The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we just, much was made in 2014 and 15 about the blood moons. I know that you must have read the same one dozen books that I read about it. And but you see, the point about that was of true significance, besides the scientific significance, the spiritual significance was that it was a mark in time that, again, Joel had prophesied about, because he, two times, you see, he talked about a move of God, a powerful outpouring, and that there would be one early and then one late. And so in Acts chapter 2, they've recognized the Holy Spirit just fell. This is the first incident that Joel was prophesying about. But I'm here to say that right now, this is the second one. And that we are the church of the latter days. And that we are the church upon whom the Holy Spirit will fall in such a mighty and powerful way. But here is the significance, I believe, that the Lord would bring to you this morning. As you know, Jesus told the disciples and the believers that if they would go and wait in Jerusalem till power came upon them, before they would be released from that. And so they were, Acts 2, 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. I want us to see that. Out of every nation under heaven. And this went, when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it goes on to list. So you see, what happened is the Holy Spirit had come and had fallen upon these believers who were waiting for a move of God, waiting for the promise of God to be unfolded. And God always does the mightiest things, the biggest things, when he has kind of an audience. If you notice, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he waited. The Jews were sitting in a formal, they had a, there was a formal, always a tradition, a thing they always did at the time of the death of a loved one. And it brought the whole community and it brought many people together. And so then Jesus came and on the fourth day raised Lazarus up, because you see, on the third day, the Jews had an understanding that up until the third day, a person might come naturally kind of back to life, because there was not the medical and scientific understanding about at what point a person was literally dead. And so you see, Jesus is going to wait till the fourth day, because as you and I have come to know and to know him, he's going to do what he does in a way that man can only say that for sure this was the hand of God. And so he waited until the fourth day. Well, then in the book of Acts, all these nations had come together. Observant Jews had come from everywhere to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, because that was a Jewish thing. They'd been doing that for 1,500 years probably. And so all these people were in the city, and it coincided with the time that the believers had gone into the upper room to wait for the outpouring of the Spirit. And so, as you know, when the Holy Spirit begins to fall in upon a group of people, you know, one or the other, something is going to lose control, either, and the Spirit never does, but the flesh always has to yield to the Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit fell, they just simultaneously began to speak in other tongues. And the word says that they were, these unlearned men and women were speaking in the native languages of the people who had gathered into Jerusalem for a whole other reason. They were there to make sacrifices and not to see something happened to a small group of people. They didn't realize that God really caused this all to happen so that as the nations had gathered together, the Spirit fell. And so not only were the people in Jerusalem able to see the evidence and the power of the Holy Spirit, but all these nations that God had brought together, and he planned all this to happen at one time. So what am I saying to this body this morning? I'm saying that the reason that this church is made up of so many nations of people is because the plan of God is that those of you who are, this is your home, well, you know, this is, you're the ones who established the church. This is, you are the ones to whom this body originally belonged. And then now God has begun to add one nation after the other nation to this body. And it's for the purpose of their calling, you know, from their nations, their loved ones, calling upon the other Africans and Indians and all the nations that are gathered here. You see, your culture, as your culture follows you, God has a plan, and he intends to illustrate that what you have witnessed to your families back in your countries, that is the truth, because some of them will stand right here in this very place, and they will see the power of the Holy Spirit fall once again, and somebody in this place will recognize that prophecy has just come to pass the way that these people realized it in the book of Acts. You see, when the Holy Spirit broke out and tongues of fire on one another's heads and supernatural speaking of languages they didn't know, and somebody there was learned in the Word of God, and they said, Joel prophesied this hundreds of years ago. This is what we've been waiting for, the manifestation of the promise that Joel spoke to come to pass, and so it did. But you see, today we are again waiting for the promise prophesied by Joel, promised from the heart of God to come to pass for the second great outpouring in the life of the church, in the church age. So in the beginning of the church age, an outpouring. In the end, an outpouring. Now we know, we feel that we know so much more about the beginning than we do the one at the end. But let me say this. The Bible said that the outpouring of the Spirit in the early days was great and mighty and powerful, and it gave life to a church and a move of God that still exists 2,000 years later. But the Word said that the outpouring that was coming at the end was going to be so much greater than what we've seen in the book of Acts. And so I want you to remember that as these people received, these apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered in a way that before they had only seen Jesus empowered in such a way. And they went out, and the first thing that we see after they left the kind of the neighborhood where the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them in that upper room, and the Bible says that they were so filled with the Holy Ghost that the upper room could only contain them for a small time, because they began to break out into the streets of the city of Jerusalem, and they began to preach, and they began to proclaim the word of the Lord, and they were speaking and honoring God and worshiping God in all these unknown languages. And the spokesperson at that time, Peter, said, "Hey, we are not drunk as you suppose. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. And so what we are doing is not anything in us and of us, but we have been empowered by something greater than what believers and God-fearers have ever known. The Holy Ghost is upon us and within us." And so you see, right now, God is wanting to fill the body of believers so completely to the overflowing with the Holy Ghost in this time, because once again, it is time to spill out into the streets of our towns and cities and to begin to proclaim the goodness and the power and the might of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost. And so this is what God is saying. And this is the very reason that some of you have been gathered in here from other nations, that you might witness that these English don't know your language. They don't know your dialect. They don't know the next one they're going to speak either. And so you're going to witness that the Holy Ghost has come and that you've seen something that is not only in the natural unbelievable, but that it is to a great and a mighty extent to which there's either no words to explain or describe, that there is a supernatural event that's happened. And it's going to happen right here. Can you agree with me right now? Help me. The Spirit of the Lord is saying that, you know, He wants to touch, He wants to reach in like fingers going out from this church into this city and the neighboring towns and cities. And He's going to do this not only through the people who were born in England and who are known across the world as the great United Kingdom, but the people that have come from other places into here. If you think about that, see, the tradition of the English people has as far back as, far back past modern history, they have known about Jehovah God. They have known about the Savior Jesus. They've experienced Him in different ways. But you see, the nations that God is bringing in here has not so much had that experience or had that tradition in the lands where you've come from. And so you see, God brought you to a place where something mighty and something powerful is about to happen, so that when He disperses you back in, not necessarily to the country where you came from, but to your nation of people, to your blood relatives, you see, that's the way that the manifestation of the Spirit is going to come to pass, because God said that your sons and daughters would prophesy, that there would be, God would be speaking in visions and in dreams, and that there would be a supernatural outpouring. And so the way that that is going to perpetuate is a great outpouring right here and then sending you into the places where you came from to witness of the power of the Spirit of God. Because you see, God and the Holy Spirit, they're not quiet little, dignified English and Americans full of pride and all that kind of stuff. You see, the Holy Ghost is, when the Holy Ghost is present, the Holy Ghost is going to do something. He is going to be noticed. And where there is no manifestation of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, there's no Holy Ghost, because if he's present, he's going to do something. And the Holy Spirit is in this place this morning because he has a plan. He has a plan to overwhelm you with his goodness and his kindness, but he's going to overwhelm you with the promise that was bestowed upon you when you came into Christ, that you would heal the sick, and that you would raise the dead, that you would cast out devils, that you would preach the gospel, that lives would change all around you because of the power of that Spirit that lives in you. You see, it cannot be denied. We either press, we squelch the Holy Spirit, we quench the Holy Spirit, and he becomes, who knows what happens then, because, where is he? He's somewhere where people are not trying to squeeze him out and trying to contain him. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's coming to this place in a way that cannot be contained any more than it could be contained in that upper room that day in the streets of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for some nations, if I can just take a few minutes. I'm not going to forget that the Archbishop is supposed to preach, and I'm going to let him have it. He's the one who's got the message, I'm sure. But I want to pray for some nations, if that's okay. Because are you in agreement that they're here for a reason? They are here for a reason. They are here to bring the witness to all the nations from this place. And so I don't know what all countries are actually here. Okay, well, we know Mexico. And so we'll start with Mexico. If you're from Mexico, I want you to stand up right now, because as believers, we're going to agree with you for your nation. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Almighty God, Master, Savior, Deliverer, Healer, Mighty, Mighty, All-Powerful, One True Living God, we thank you that you have a plan for Carlos and for his family and for his country. And so today we lift up Mexico. And Lord, we just thank you for the promise that is upon Mexico. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken prophetically over that nation for the last few decades, and you have uttered things that are unbelievable in the natural. But with you, in you and with you, all things are possible. And so, Lord, we thank you that Mexico is going to be filled with the overflowing of the Spirit of God, and that, Lord, there is going to be an outpouring that could only be caused by the Holy Spirit and can only be credited to Almighty God. And so we just thank you that in Mexico, where Carlos's family is, and throughout that country, that, Lord, you are sending witnesses to every community and witnesses to every city, town, and village. And we just thank you, Lord. We empower today, as we come into agreement with those who are in prayer, those intercessors in Mexico, praying over their nation, as we come into agreement with them, Lord, you said that the spirit of agreement would bring the answer. And so we agree with these people today in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that there will be a noticeable change, and that there will be a difference made, and there will be witnesses of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and then we have Daniela is Venezuela. So, Lord, we agree with Daniela and her family for her. Lord, I'm asking you to honor her father's every message he spoke, every message he preached in his country in Venezuela. And we agree today with the things that he petitioned heaven for on behalf of his country. And, Lord, those things that Daniela prays over her family and the nation that she left to come here to be a witness. Lord, we agree with those prayers. We thank you for moving in Venezuela. Father God, today we pray protection on all the Christians that are there, that are being persecuted, and on the churches that are being closed and being hindered in every way possible in the natural. And we appropriate the blood of Jesus over every Christian there. And Lord, we say that the blood will stand as the witness of the power of God between those Christians and their enemy in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. Amen. Okay, now, what is it? India?
Pakistan.
Pakistan. Everybody from the Pakistan. If you want us to pray for your country and you're in agreement with us. So, Father, in Jesus' name right now, we come into agreement with the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. And, Lord, as we come together and we appropriate the blood of Jesus over these people, this family from Pakistan today, Lord, we thank you that you have brought them here, that you have brought them to England, that you have are sending them to other nations as well. And that they will see, Lord, that the body of Christ will see that God is carrying out his word, and that people who have believed in other gods and seen that other gods never cease to fail them, and yet they have turned to Almighty God and have witnesses that he never ceases to be faithful. Lord, we agree with these Pakistanis that every time that they pray for their nation, for their countrymen, that there is a manifestation of those answers. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that today in Pakistan, that there will be people who lay down to sleep, and they will lay down in their own, their old religion and the traditions of their nation, and they will wake up in the newness and the power of the Spirit, as Jesus is across the world revealing himself in a mighty way to people who have not been taught to believe that he is the living God. We thank you for manifestations today. Lord, I'm asking you today for provision for this family, for their ministries, for their businesses. In the name of Jesus, we bless them as they are in the United Kingdom and other nations, and we bless the nation that they've come from in Jesus' name. Okay, now, sir, are you a, I'm looking at your collar, you're a minister? You're a bishop?
Nadine.
What's this?
Bishop Nadine.
Nadine, okay, so you guys know. Bishop, the power of the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. And the tongues that we've spoken about, the tongues that were spoken of in the book of Acts, that is a mighty and a powerful manifestation of the Spirit that is upon you and within you, but it's about to break out of you. And the Spirit, as you pray and you speak in other tongues, and as the Spirit, as witness is given to the Spirit that is within you, the Lord is saying that in those times and places, that the things that you would not be able to conceive of mentally, your spirit, and so you wouldn't pray in English for those things. You wouldn't pray in your native language for those things because we have no understanding mentally. But God is saying that your spirit, being so filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that when you speak in those languages of the Spirit, that there is going to be manifestations of healings and of deliverances. And what I see for you today is a powerful deliverance ministry where people who have worshipped other gods and become so in bondage to those things that it's manifest in their physical bodies and in their minds, where there is mental illness and torture, that the Lord is saying that when you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, that those things are going to begin to break off of your people, because unto your people there has been a promise made, and God is saying that the enemy will not exact one thing from you or your ministry that would rob you of the promise of God. He is good for his promise. And the Lord is saying that the things that you have been praying for, the thing that you have been on your face about, the Lord is saying, not many days. Not many days. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I just want to pray the last thing over the rest of the nations and over this body, and we're going to allow the Archbishop and the pastor to come back. But you know, I just feel like today that there's a special burning in some of you for the your families and the places where you've come from. But just know this, that you are a gift to the body of Christ, and you are a gift to this country and its people. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, we just pray over the other nationalities that are present here in the United Kingdom, and we thank you for having sent them. Father, we pray that you meet their every need, whether it's natural, supernatural, financial, anything. And we just thank you for blessing and showing your favor upon these people in this particular land. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the work in Tanzania and Zimbabwe and the other nations, and we bless you for it. And Father, today, the last thing is we set ourselves in agreement with Pastor Stephen and Pastor Micah for their country and for their people. And Lord, we thank you for bringing to pass in a mighty way, in a powerful way, in a very timely way, those things which you have promised them. Lord, we just say that there will not be continued delay, but there will be an immediate answer, and that there will be an immediate solution, because God is real and God is involved, and this is, after all, God's business, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody. I bless you.
Heaven is like. When we get there, we'll see all of these smiling faces full of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Oh, yes. It's his right on. Always is. We're going to have church again tonight. We'll maybe have a little more time. I'm going to preach. Y'all know what a wonderful preacher I am. If you'll bear with me, we will talk about the Lord. He's a wonderful master. The scripture I've chosen for today is Romans 5:5, and I think it flows with the other scriptures and other messages that we've had. And it's where I'm coming from. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. I am coming back from Africa full of hope. I've had a long week. I've traveled a lot of miles, and I've come back full of hope. You know, whenever Steve and I decided that this was best for us, and this is what we needed to do as far as ticking, I thought, oh God, you know how old I am? This is you, Lord? And I thought, praise God, it is, Lord. And he's been working on me, and I needed it. God is not finished with me yet, and he's not finished with you yet. I feel that I am chosen, and I feel, can you hear me without this thing? I feel that you are chosen too, and I have a message for you that is hope. We have hope now. I have walked around and I've preached in churches and pastored with my head down. Where was I? Hope, earnest expectation. Hope is what I have found. I found that in the slums of Nairobi. Hope. I have just come from there in the most glorious, highly anointed services that I've ever had. We were about, probably 30 people there, pastors and their wives. They were from all around Africa. And God was in the midst. And he anointed me to preach and pray and prophesy. And I haven't been the same since I left there. It filled me up. And that's what I want for you. I want to encourage you that the same God who anointed my little messages and my prayers will do the same for you, and that's what he wants to do, and he doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. He wants you, if you have a song, darling, sing it to the Lord. Give it to, I know you do. And I know that God's going to bless and anoint and keep. You see people saved because you have been faithful. And you know, that gives me hope. And should give the rest of you hope. It's a drag sometimes to pull that amplifier and all that stuff around. It's a drag sometimes when the people get annoyed or nervous and walk out on you playing the music. Isn't that frustrating? But we have hope. God has given us hope. And wherever we go, we have that hope. When you have 20 pastors say, and you give an altar call like I did, and 9 of them come forward for renewal and refreshing and the Holy Ghost, it can make a big fat white man happy. It made me happy. We prayed for them and they responded. Pastors, they have their churches. We have a diocese there with 30 churches. And they're corrugated metal, steel buildings, 30 by 50 or 40 by 60 with dirt floors. Walls you can see through, but God dwells in that place. Amen. God is no respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of buildings. We will be in a cathedral later this week, but I tell you that God is also with the people in the jungle, in the bush. Those who only have their Bible, those who only have the Lord,
and they're causing quite a stir. Pastor Bishop, one of our newer bishops, I consecrated him in El Paso, Texas. His name is Ambrose. Bishop Ambrose has taught pastors. He has a core of young men and women that are sold out to God. I got an offering while I was there. I got one egg. It meant something to them. It was an egg, and she came and she gave it to me so gently. And it signified her willingness to give. I've not always given freely, and I've often seen people take advantage of giving. And I can give you all of the arguments. But let me tell you, this little black girl was a giver. Touched my heart. Touched my heart. I've seen that before. I saw it in India. They gave me, I think I got two eggs that time. But you know, it was meaningful. They couldn't have piled $100 bills up there that would have meant more to me, because they were giving out of love and they were giving out of their heart. The love of God. The love of God is in you. The love of God is in each one of you. And when that love of God comes forth, it changes everything. You're no longer just a person sitting in a semi-detached building. You're a child of God, and the light of God is shining on you, because it has been poured out on you by the Holy Spirit. That pouring, I believe, can happen every day. If we ask for it, He gives it. He gives it. If you're lacking, God will give you exactly what you need, when you need it. Childlike faith. That's easy for me. Childlike faith. Yes, God, you said it, and I believe it, and that's the way it is. I'm counting on you, God, to keep me eternally. Not just for these hours that we're here, not just for the ministry, but keep all of me, as Bishop said. And let me be poured out like a drink offering. Whatever is within me, God, use it. That's my prayer. If it be anything good in me, take it and use it. The Holy Ghost will pour more into us. You're not going to run out. You're not going to run out. And He's going to be with you through it all. He's going to give you blessings through it all. And sometimes we do all right when we're on the high, when we're on the mountain. It's easy to praise and sing God, sing to God. But when your child gets sick, that's when you call for help. You say, help Jesus. Christian, if you have the love of God in you, help. And don't be embarrassed to ask, because God will deliver you and heal you and set you free. And you know that it's happened to you, and you can witness to it, and you can say, my God, my God raised me up. My God has given me deliverance from the enemy, and all the traps He's laid for me, all the traps He's laid for you. God loves us. You know, that's one thing I found to be central to the gospel, is love. Now, I can stand here, and there might be some that don't like me because of some things I said, some things I was wrong about. But you know what? I love you, and you have to forgive me. If you're going to be in right standing with Jesus, you're going to have to get on past my weaknesses, my frailties, those things that are not right, and love me. And if you can do that, God will send you blessings. Amen. Because when the hard time comes in the low place, you know, this is a mountain range. And He will raise you up. He will raise you out of the depths. And He will give you hope. And it does not disappoint us. The love of God is shed abroad by the Spirit of God, which is given to us. The love of God is shed everywhere. To all nations, to all countries, to all dialects, to all peoples, to all tribes. Everywhere. It's not for just a select few, for the elite intellectuals. It's not about special knowledge. It's about knowledge of God. Amen. And you can understand it, and you can receive it, and God can bless you through what He imparts to you. And it is the goodness of God that holds us. He's good. He loves you. The Holy Ghost is pouring out on you when you ask. You may say, well, I don't need to speak in tongues. Okay. That's where the power is, folks. You want power in your life? Ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you'll find a new power. And it will set you free. We get all bound up in our minds. We get all bound up in relationship. We get all bound up in the world. But the Lord will set you free from all that tries to capture you or imprison you, and He will give you a new life. And behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new, and they are all in Christ. Yes, I see your darling faces. I know God loves you. Because I love you, and God's much better than I am. He's bigger. He's bigger than Stephen. He's big enough to handle anything that you're dealing with. I'm not going to preach past lunch, I hope. What I would like to do is to tell you I love you. And I brought some dear friends over here with me because I love them and I know they're full of the love of God. She talked about special people. And this is the third international ministry I've been involved in. But this is the one where God has talked to me and said, careful who you choose to bring alongside you. If they are not spiritual, if they are not loving, if they are not holy, if they are not my people, no matter how many churches they have or how big their churches are, stay away from it. He's telling us to judge rightly. He's telling us to build His church. I am not about denomination. I am about the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God. We may worship somewhat differently than others do, or where you did at home. But if you find God in it, if you find God in your worship, then it's good. He covers you. And He tells you, you're mine. I bought you with a price. And I want all of you. I have friends always talking about God. And she was an older lady, and she was from the country, in my country. And she says, God wants you snoot and tail. Some of them don't understand what I'm talking about. He wants you from the tip of your nose to your tail. He wants all of you, like a pig, snoot to tail. And you know, I believe that. I believe he does. And I'm so excited to see. I'm not going to preach long. But I want you to know, I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love each one of you. You're precious to me. I saw the music and I thought, she has music in her head. And she thinks music and she can convey it to other people. What a gift. There are so many gifts in here. My darling over here, she can write. And we prayed about that and prophesied over it, and it happened. Bestseller. My goodness. I don't know any other bestseller. But I know one that has God. And my darling there has had some health problems. But you know what? Had that high, then had the enemy comes. Anytime you raise your head above the crowd, the enemy will attack you. And that is what has happened to you. But God won't let you stay down. Amen. He's saying, come on back up. You don't belong down there. That's the wrong direction, Ellie. Stay on up there. Get among God's people and let them love on you and bring you back to where you need to be. And he's saying that for some of you others. You may not be able to write like her. You may not be able to play music like this dear. But there's something in you God wants. And he has put those gifts in you. One thing you got is love. And you can learn to love. The older we get, I don't know what happens to us. The child, the innocence of a child. The little Samuel back there. He just loves people. When I was in Nairobi, we had a little girl, we call her Nini. She was 3. She says, I love you. I said, I love you too. Can we approach each other like that? With love and charity and understanding and mercy and peace and hope? It's what God wants. And I wonder if we'll make it to heaven if we don't. You are a glimpse of heaven, as Carol said. God told me that this morning, first thing, and I believe you are. I believe there's so much more for you. I want to prophesy over y'all so bad, but tonight we will come back at appropriate time.
I know some people have arranged lunch and some people have arranged things, but you know, listen, you're here. You won't be here next Sunday. You'll be in the States.
Yeah.
I'm happy to sit and let God do what God's going to do in God's timetable. And if you are, then great. Just sit with us and enjoy. If you have an arrangement, you have to go, no one will be upset. But
no.
I would just feel free.
All right. I wouldn't say it's just sunny. The Lord has called you and anointed you. And he has appointed you as a minister of the gospel. He says you have made many steps on your own. He says you'll make many more for me. And he's going to equip you with everything you need to do the work of the ministry. Don't despair. Don't let your emotions get you. I know how they can pull you down. But know that His love will sustain you and carry you through, and you will know that He's for you and He's with you and He's going to do it. Going to do it. Yes. Brother David, there's so much more for you to do. I know you're a little bit older than me. Not much. But these are going to be your best years. It's going to be your best years. The glory of the latter years will be greater than the former. And He's going to give you some revelation. And you're going to have discernment. And you're going to move forward very powerfully. God has put some beautiful people in your lives, your life. Know that it is for a purpose. And as you pray, God will be revealing. All right. Well, let me tell you, God's working in your family. That baby, isn't that exciting? Oh, yes. They were here and we talked about it and God just did a mighty work there. And we're so happy. So glad you came. Don't bother if you don't. If you have to go, go. That's just the way it is. Eileen, he's pulling you. He's pulling you. And sometimes you set your feet in the ground and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm tired of that. And God's saying, I love you. I love you. Come on. Come with the people who love you. And that's what he's saying to you and your wonderful husband. Just come on. Things for you to do too. Things that only you can do. You have compassion and you have knowledge of people. It's very important. God and life has prepared you for a role in ministry. So take it and go with it. Dear folks, admire this gentleman and his wife. They're faithful, and they love God, and they're here. And I want to encourage you. You are important to this church. You are important to God. You are important. And He's still using you. Your prayers change things, very much so. And He has not forgotten you, not one bit. And Dennis and Bev, I don't be long. Preach the word. Preach it in season and out of season. Preach it when you don't feel like it. Preach it when you feel like it. Sing to Him. It brings down the glory. Amen. You know that. Let Him pour out His glory on you too. You're precious to me. You're precious to me. He will use you very, very powerfully. He said, even though you're seeking, you're finding. He says, I want to do a new work in your life. He says, hope doesn't make you disappointed. And God says, you've had enough disappointment. And you need hope. And hope is in Jesus Christ. And hope is in this congregation. And hope is what God has for you. Amen. And when He fixes you, when He brings you somewhere, you stay hitched. Okay? We can't. God can keep up with you if you're running here and there and over yonder and back and forth. But let Him make your life stable. All right. Amen. Amen. You have a precious spirit. You've been seeking and you'll find. And Chris, there are many things you do well. And you're a good grandmother. And there's a lot of love in you that you're pouring out, and that's what you're supposed to do right now. Because in loving that child, you're learning some things about yourself. And you're learning more about God. So let Him do that complete work in you. Amen? Perfect. The Bible calls it perfect work. It's really completed work. Amen? Sister, how are you today? Yes, dear. All right. Well, I want you to be encouraged today. It wasn't easy to get up and get here.
Pray for me when I came in.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. Well, Lord, we again pray. And we add our prayers on top of the other ones. And we thank you, Lord, that you can just bless and bless and bless and bless my sister. Amen. My brother up here that works with the Muslims. Time to redouble your efforts. People will come in and out of your ministry. Come in and go out and come in and go out. But as you keep the work of the ministry going, He will never leave you without a witness. And He will give you just the right witness. So some may have not been with you when they went out. But if you pray, that's your work of the ministry. Just pray for those who come. You're seeing lives changed, hearts mended so much. It's precious, precious. We love you. We love you. You came to this country maybe seeking something, and you didn't know what it was. You thought it's a better life. You thought it's more money. You thought it was, and it is. But there's a big God over here, and He loves you. He loves you tremendously. You and your wife and your children. She's a little darling. What is her name?
Evelyn.
Oh, how cute. You know, I just like cute people. And everybody in here is cute. I'm getting hot. I'm going to wind up down this side, I think. You know your destiny. You know your call now. You have a certainty that you haven't had. Listen to these two people in your life, and they will keep you going exactly the way you need to go. Genesis, you're a special child. And God wants to use special people. Brilliant people. He wants to use them. He can use some of us dummies, but He really wants to bless you and to use the gifts, abilities, talents, and intellect that you have to do things. Now is not too early to start preparing yourself spiritually. Amen. Mom and Dad, I'm praying that God answer your prayers. Never stop praying. So while God has you here, do the work here. Do the work of the ministry right here. Abraham, how are you? Are you going to be a leader of people? I believe you are. The first qualification for leadership is love. Love. You know how to love people? You do? Wow. Maybe you should be up here preaching. You will one day. You will one day. Amen. A precious one. And who did we pray for in the hospital? I thought it was you when I looked. You came out of that place, didn't you, doll? Yes. Yes, and your dad and your mom were calling in to help. And now you're with us. And I'm so glad. I don't want any bad news. God's going to raise you all up. You're a family of God. And He will, what I'm hearing is restoration. He's going to give you restoration. You have many things taken from you. Too many. And God will make it all level and equal. And we believe He's going to do it soon. He'll do it soon. How many churches do you have now? Many churches. Many churches. Well, Pastor, I don't want to offend the whole half of the church, but I'm getting a little warm here in this suit, and I know they need to go eat lunch. And they'll feel better after they've eaten lunch, won't you? Amen. Amen.
We'll bring the service to a close. We're going to meet again this evening and invite you all to be here this evening. We will have a service where there'll be more words. I think there'll be a lot of words tonight. Personal ministry this evening. So let's close, shall we? Shall we stand together? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that we've been able to hear from You. And Father, we ask that You continue to minister to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the rest of this day, the time ahead, we will reflect on what's been said, what You're saying to us right now, and that Your will be done. And that, Father God, our lives, that Your will be done. Your kingdom come in and through our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, we give You all the praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Amen.